Okay, today's daf is daf lamed chet nashi. We've ended with the sugya of Yorad lecharava, sorry, uBenaya. He goes into someone's field, someone's property, and it was just, and he fixed the ruin for him. And the question was, what compensation can he get? Well, it depends if he was given permission to do so or not. And we talked about Yadal Tachtona, and the Gemara ended. But one second, why can't he just, if you can give permission, why can't he just take his building materials and leave with them? Why does he have to pay? Why does he have to be compensated at all? I can say I like all my stuff back. And the answer was, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Israel. Okay. Now the Gemara says, sorry, that's where it was in the Churva, where there was a ruin. It's Ra'ui to be rebuilt, right? However, Banaba, what's the din then? So I'll just read the Gemara full to make it clear. It says, Davka Churva. However, mahu, im bana onatash, like, what's the deal? What's the din there if he does so without permission? If it's a place where it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be construction, there shouldn't be any planting. So Rav Amar shamin lo, meaning you still go yadal tachtona. However, gashamim. This is an interesting position. Now, I think the way the I'll just show you the marfulda. He says, here it says, Ma'arimim alav, meaning ala balabai, likanes sham, we try and trick him, it sounds like, to go into this, say, the churva, and that in the summer because of the heat, and the geshem because of the rain, pen v'ulai yenicha lebema'asav. And then it would be, if you like, happy with the fact that a guy built it for him. Ve'az shamin lo v'yeh lo yadal elyona. And therefore, the person who built it then can say, okay, I want my full compensation here. You said you didn't want it, but look, you're enjoying it. Okay, v'chen mashmesham. Chen mashmesham is referring to the Bavli that was Shitat Rav. And Rav says that yes, yadala tachtona. However, if the person, and if it demonstrates that he's actually very happy with the construction, enjoying it, then he can pay. Then yadala yona, he can ask for more of the two in terms of improvements in value or the building materials or the building expense. Okay, however, Amrullah, they said to him, sounds like said to Rav here, hatanita shamin lo v'yadala tachtona. Now, shamin lo tachtona means, it sounds like, if I understood the sugya correctly, that the counter argument was, what do you mean they're going to trick him? We already said in that situation that you just simply, his compensation is, that is, in other words, I'll show you here, Marfulda, that is Yadal Tachtona, meaning Lerav, Mipnei Ma'amarina, why you trick him? Hatin Shamin lo, Yadto, Yadto, Allah Tachtona, it's always a Tachtona. Umatrichalim, why need this Ha'arama? Haredinu Kfar, where do I have a din that's been, it's Nifsak, that's Paskin, the Devar Shu Shalabashut, that is Yadal Tachtona, Zeu. You don't need Ha'arama at all. Meaning to some like get out of that compensation, sorry, yeah, compensation or any compensation at all, sorry, or any, sorry, you don't need any craft or any trickery in order to get compensation, I should say, and it would always be yadala tachtona. That's what it sounds like, according to my understanding. Okay, fine. Okay, let's continue. This is now the next part of the sugya. This is Amar Zira. Hada Gazel Shmeina Vekrisha. Okay, what that means is, let's say he stole a animal, meaning he owned a fat animal, and then it got skinny as a result. Then you have to pay the shomen, meaning the difference in value of what the person stole. Okay? So the Gemara Fulda says, the fact, where do we learn this from? The fact it says Varechel Ta'un, that if you steal a sheep that's got full of wool, Meshalem, you've got to pay the mei rechel ta'una v'gazez. Then what the ganav has to do, he has to pay back the value of what he stole, which was a sheep that is full of wool. So that you might say that's wool. But we're applying this also to the fat of the animal. Let's say it was a nice rump, nice fat animal that he stole, and then it ended up he didn't feed it and went skinny. Well, you have to return the maybe the animal, but also the shomen, the difference in value, just like we said that if you steal a sheep with wool, even if it's sheared, you have to, and now it doesn't have any wool, you have to return also as if it was fully loaded with wool. Okay, that's straightforward. However, Amar Avchis had Amar Gazal Kechusha Veishmina Machziru Baina. What about the opposite case? What if it was a skinny animal, and you end up, and the thief steals, who stole, end up fattening it up, and now it's really fat? What do we say there? You return it as it is. You don't get compensation. Why? Mimnei Ibra Etzlo V'Yalda. Because that would be like the, if you like, the case in our Mishnah Well, it's the inferred from by the case on the Mishnah, because there, if it's Ibra, it's Lo Vayalda. There in the Mishnah, we said if the animal, you stole an animal, it becomes pregnant and gives birth, there you just return the animal, Nachon. Ha'im Lo Ibra, it's Lo Vayalda, meaning if it didn't give birth, meaning it was still pregnant at the time, it sounds like Meshalem Keshat Gzel, you simply return it. Okay? I'll just, I'll just explain it here. The way I read it in the Gemara doesn't really seem to make sense of the explanation I just gave, because I'm not sure actually if the Marafolda added those or grain. So I'll just read you the Marafolda. He says, Gaza kuchush veshmina hagazan machzira ba'ina. You return it as is kamosh shmina as it's fat. The daikam matnitin, this is Marafolda explains all this, midtnan, the ibra etzlo became pregnant, v'yalda, and then it gives birth. Meshalem kishat gzela, you pay that when you shat gzela. Haloyalda, if it had not given birth, machzir ba'ina. So I explained pretty much like the Marafolda did. You return it as it is. Kamoshim will bear it. So Achanami, so too, if it was a skinny animal and you fatten up, well, it's just like the animal getting pregnant and fattening up, if you like. And just as there you would have returned it as it is, so too you return it as it is. Yafe. That is that case as well. Now the Gemara says, Mantanita, who's author of Mishnah? Rabbi Yaakov. Why? Or who's the author of the teaching we just saw? It says that's Rabbi Yaakov. That Tani Zeh Klal. Shaya Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Kol Gzela Shehi Kayemet Ba'ina V'lo Nishna Briota Amar Lo Shach Harei Shachal Efanecha. Any Gzela that's still as it is, and you haven't, if you like, it hasn't changed, then we say Harei Shachal Efanecha. What does that mean? The example is, as we'll see later on. See, I should again show you the Marav folder, meaning. Let's say he sold a whole lot of bread, and Pesach passed, and now it's asur ba'anan, nachon? It basically has no value. Nonetheless, it's still be'ena. It's still the same bread as he stole, so he returns it. Now it's called gzera. He simply returned it as it is. Hachinami. That's what we also learn in our case. Ibra, it became pregnant. Then lo nishtaniti. We don't say it changed just because it's pregnant now. It's not, let's call it a substantive change. The cheneshmina, it's also when it fattens up. Lachen machzira, that's why you return it as it is. Shelo kana'a, meaning there has to be, we've looked at this before, for the gazlan to return the original value, we're talking about specifically a gazlan, there has to be some sort of shinui to say he was koneh b'shinui. But in this situation, there's no substantive change to it. Well, it sounds like fattening up is not a substantive change. It's just like similarly with chametz that avar shalav pesach with asbana. Materially, there's no change. It's a din change. So those both the situations, you return it as it is. Okay. However, then it adds v'haganav. However, if it's a ganav, now be careful here because we're differentiating between a ganav and a gazlan. A gazlan is one of these people that come face to face with their victim and says, "Give it to me." Takes it by force. A ganav, however, is someone who, like in the dark of night, secretly comes and steals it. And if you remember, a ganav is a person who has to pay, in the case of a ganav, not a gazlan, the compensation is double. It's kefil, or arba v'chamisha as well, which we learned about in the past. So it says a ganav lo'olam meshalem kishata gneva. That a ganav will always pay kishat hagneva at the time it was stolen, which sounds like if we've got the case of chametz shavar levata pesach, you'd have to pay back the full value of the chametz's bread and not what it is after Pesach, which just has no value. Now the question is, what difference is there between a gzela and gneva? I saw some perushim that said it's got to do with the drush and the psukim, but then I saw in the Chazon Yekeskel on the Breita, he says no. We're not talking about the keren, the base value, because a base value, you're right. There's no difference between gneiva and gzela. You just say harei shechal lefanecha. The whole discussion is regarding the kefil, meaning if you remember, he has to pay double the value back. So that kefil is a knas, and that kefil he was mechayev at the time he stole it. So that's why, in the case, for example, the chametz. If he stole this chametz before Pesach avada the chametz, the keren, he could say, Arei shechal lefanecha, according to what the Chazon Yecheskel is saying. Because right now he has to return it, and the keren, the base thing that he stole, is able to return. Arei shechal lefanecha, there's been a material change. However, because of the time of the gneiva, he was then immediately mechuyav chayv in the gneiva, if you like, in the Kefil, that extra double component, we look at the value at the time when he stole it, and at that time, it had a value. It was whatever the value of the bread was, and therefore he has to pay. That's the one we say that's Pshat Gneiva. Okay, it's interesting Pshat. Some people say it applies to the full thing, but that's the way the Chazon Ches explains this piece, or the Tosefta. It's a parish from the Tosefta. Let's look at the Halacha Bet now. Gazal behema v'izkina, avadim v'izkinu meshalem kishat gzeila. If you're talking about a sales an animal and it gets older, avadim, we'll have to explain what older means, because we just said if it just gets fatter, it's the same animals. What's older going to be any difference? But nonetheless, it still seems to be the shata gneiva. Interesting, we also said avadim v'izkinu meshalem kishat gzeila. However, Rabbi Meir says yomer lo ba'avadim. When it comes to avadim, according to Rabbi Meir, are like karka. And therefore, meaning have the same din of land, you can simply say hareishachalafanecha. Okay, and therefore, just as karka is always considered bereshut mare, meaning always in the property of the owner, any shinui is still considered in the property of the owner. So therefore, you can simply say hareishachalafanecha, Rabbi Meir. However, what the Gemara wants to do now is go back on the case of the behemah that got older. So Rav Huna says, oh, Rav Huna amar begazal egel vana'aseh shor. We're talking about if it was a calf and became an ox now. Because that is considered, if you like, a substantive change to the extent that the ganav is considered as if he's koneh. Even though he didn't do anything, it just got older. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. That's when you can say, oh, meshalem kishata gzeila, sorry. However, aval gazal shor v'izkin, if it's already an ox and it just gets older, then you can say, omer hareishel chalefanecha. Then you can say, well, it's the same old animal. So it depends whether it's a change from a calf to a shor, that's considered substantive enough that there's a shinui. That's what the Mishnah is talking about when you say meshalem kishata gzeila. However, if it just gets a bit older, it's already an ox and becomes a really old ox, no, then you can say, this is your ox, I'm simply returning it. So that's a debate in terms of, sorry, that's his distinction, he says, in terms of when there's a maturity change of somewhat, that's considered a shinui. However, Shmuel's cholek, he says, no. Shmuel Amar, afilu gazal egel v'naaseh shor, even if he steals a egel and becomes a shor, he can still say, harei shecha lefanecha. He can still say, well, this is your animal. Okay? Meaning, tzarich lachzir ashor ba'ena, he simply returns it as it is. Okay? But it's important, it's a tzarich lachzir, he has to, because if you think about it, if it was a calf and now it becomes an ox, it's far more value. So that's why the Marafulda says Tzarich, he has to return it as it is, and he can't say, oh, this is a shinui, it's mine, I'll just pay you for the calf I stole. He'd be profiting as a result. Now, Tani Rav Karna, Safilu Gezel, Sa Gazal Egel v'naseh shor, v'tavachu machar mashlem tashlumi arba v'chamisha egel. Now, this is interesting, because if it's Gzela, there's no tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So you need a little, this needs a little bit of work. So I'll just show you here the Mara Fulda says, Afilu, it says, Ganav, he changes it, even if he stole it. The Tavachu Machar, and then, and Svir Leke Shmuel, meaning he'd all like Shmuel, nonetheless, Miu, Haganav Lolama Shel Geneva. When it comes to Geneva, you always go by the Shatha Geneva, despite the fact that normally we'll say, Shmuel would say, normally in the Gzela, we say, even if it matures, you say, Harayet Shel. But because he's tavachu machar, and it's a case of a gneiva, we know when it comes to arba v'chamisha that chiyuv is generated. If we use the perush we learned by the Chazon Cheskel before, that chiyuv is generated at the time when he goes back, and you always go b'shat gneiva. So if you like, you go all the way back to the time he stole it, and we do the calculation then for the arba v'chamisha and the kefil. Okay, yafeh. Okay, so in other words, yeah, fine. No, fine. Chamisha Egel, specifically. Amar Avoy de Shmuel, Bar Ami, B'Shem Rav Yehuda, Halacha Reb Meir. Now, Halacha Reb Meir is saying that if it's like Karka, and you can say, Hareisha Chalefanecha. That was the last step in the Mishnah. Okay, let's continue. Gazal Matbea V'Nistak. If he steals a coin and it literally means cracked, we'll discuss in a minute. But in other words, it has no value anymore. Peirot v'erkivu, or produce and it rots. Yain v'chmitz, he stole wine and it becomes chametz. Meshalem kishat gzeila, he has to pay the value of the wine when he stole it. Okay, end of these items. Matbea v'nifsal, if however the coin seems to be still intact, it's just no longer fluid, it's nifsal. New foreign currency, truma becomes tmeah, still the same truma. Chametz v'arba latapesach, chametz and it's Still chametz, just happens to grow up Pesach and go to din now, you can't get out na. Behemah v'nit avra, sorry, nit avra bo aveira. The animal, it's the same type of animal, but it had a relationship with a human being, and therefore it's pasul le korban. So I feel like its value is going to be decreased somewhat. Or shaita yotzeli sakel, or now it's been taken down to stone. We still, in those situations, say hareshecha lefanecha. Now, again, these, did I miss one? I think I did miss one. Or shnifsal ma'al gamei ha'mizbeach. Sorry. That's a, that, by the way, that's a mum that's not nikar. So it's, you know, there's no, it's not a substantial physical change. All these things are hareshecha lefanecha. So we have to really understand the difference between the in the first cases and the second cases. I mean, the gezel, gazal matbea v'nistak, perot v'erkivu, and for example, matbea shenifsal and truma v'nitma. And the Gemara is going to work with those. So let's have a look. We've got to debate what it means nistak. Rav Huna says nistak is shepesalato malchut. So to explain, Mar Fulda says heinu nistak dematnitin, aval lo psalato malchut, meaning when it says nistak, it's referring to where the Malchut has said, we're no longer taking this as currency. So statewide or countrywide, this is a invalid coin now. If, however, one region no longer wants to use that coin, who did number safer? That's the second part. That's when you start Rasha Lecha Lefanecha. The coin I stole from you, you can still use it. It still has value, even though it doesn't have value in this region. You can use it elsewhere. However, the difference is if it's psalta machut, meaning if this coin's completely been invalidated from any use at all, then that's a different situation. That's like nistak. That's when he can has a meshatek zela. So let's just explain it outside. Shidat Rav Huna. He says, when it says nistak, it doesn't have to literally mean it broken half. What it means is that it's now becomes pasul malchut. The malchut says is no longer valid currency. In that situation, since it's completely, if you like, the it's completely lost to the owner, sounds like, then the victim says to the ganav, you've got a keshat gzeil, you've got to compensate me for this coin. Okay, the full value. If, however, it was just no longer used in this particular region, but other areas of the country would be, like they've decided in that state not to support it anymore, then it would, then in that situation, the person can say, Hareshecha, here's a coin, you can still use it, it's not completely lost. That's the opinion of Rav Huna, sorry. Shmuel Amar, no. Benistak Vadai. He understands that only when the Mishnah says you have to pay him the full amount, that's when it's completely cracked. Okay? That's when you say, again, that's a physical shinui, we'll discuss this in a bit more detail. You completely cracked in half, then you have to compensate in fully. But even if nifsal toa malchut, even if it's no longer fluid currency throughout the entire country, cannot be used anywhere anymore, then Shmuel says you can still say hareishal chalafanecha. That's a debate in Rav and Rav Huna and Shmuel. Now Rav Yehuda ben Pazi says b'shem Rav Yosi bar Chanina v'hen shir kivu min achanima, aval le kivu mitulat kibriyin hen. So once again, we're looking back at the mission, the case of Hirakivu, the payroll for Hirakivu. Now, what we're trying to say is it makes a difference how they rotted. When it's rotted and he says, oh, by the way, you have to pay Keshata Gzela, that's only if it was a Chenimah. Chenimah seems to be the marfil. This is some sheretz katan that sort of comes from inside these animals. It's not like a worm that comes from the outside. And the important is that it becomes completely nifsadim legamri. Kibbutz gets lost. Ruined, if you like. Aval imir kivu mutulah, if a worm comes in and eats a bit of it, then we can bring him, then still it's fine. Then you can still say, Resha chalafanecha. Okay. So Rav Huna omar, b'pesalato malchut, got the shir Rav Huna again, written in Gemara, aval psal medina omer chalafanecha, and Shmuel says, omer afilu psal malchut, omer haresha chalafanecha. That's the same that we saw before, above. Now you can see the alignment here. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna lo nachit lebei vada. He didn't come to the Beit Midrash. Come im Rav Mana, and he met Rav Mana. He says, "Amar le ma chidut? What's a chidushim? Havu lechun be Beit Midrash Yom Adin? What did I miss out on? What chidushim did I miss out on the Beit Midrash? Amar le mila plan? He brought this, if you like, this machloket, Devar Ploni, right? The fact that Shmuel says when it says nifsal in the sefer, it can also apply nifsal malchut. So Amar le, but lav matnitahi. That seems to be you can bring a proof within the mission itself. Why? Because truma v'nitma. Now truma is a situation where if it becomes tameh, effectively loses all its value, you can no longer eat it anymore. And that would be equivalent to if it becomes pasul, pasul malchut has no use anymore. So they seem to align. You could bring a proof from Truma v'nitma'a to malchut that if the malchut was pasul, this coin. Meaning, in other words, it doesn't have to be like, let's say, Rav Huna says, that it's only that when you say harashah if it has some use in certain locations. But that wouldn't parallel the case of Truma, because, okay, so Truma has no use whatsoever. You cannot eat it at all, no matter where you go. So the Gemara says, Amalei, no. Don't be so quick to align the two together. That's not necessarily a proof. Amalei, so the Marafuda says, when do we say in Truma, but if it comes no, like it has no use whatsoever, you can say Rashafanecha, that's only Truma v'nitma'a. So yeah, once again, Tifta, one second. Truma v'nitma'a, that's kipasal to dami. Tiftal Mishnah, sorry, next part. That Tiftal Mishnah Malaya, me masha enkin hata machu psala. In other words, the difference between truma that became, if you like, pasul on its own, a bit like, let's say, chametz that became, asur on its own, just happened to pass Pesach. Maybe in that situation, we say, okay, you say, harei shechal lefanecha. However, in the case, if you want to say it by malchut, yes, you looked at one side of the similarity, which is it has no use whatsoever. But there's a difference on the other side of how it got to that state. By Truma, Nitma Aleah, dead sheretz has fell in it. Whereas if it was by Malchut, it could have been some legislation that was passed, it sounds like, well, the king decided we're not going to use that coin anymore. I don't like my picture on it, or whatever it is. And therefore, there's still room to differentiate between the two. That maybe when it's external human intervention or cause of Malchut being puzzled, it, maybe it's. It is indeed like Rav Huna that he could say he'd have to mishal mikshat gzeila. So they're not exactly parallel. Okay, chilfi amar nishpa lo kodem Pesach, achar Pesach mashalom chametz yafeh. Now this fits in very nicely again, once again, with the chazon Yecheskel we saw above. Let's say someone stole chametz before Pesach. What happens if after Pesach he's caught or he has to return it? He gets out for areshach halafanecha. Nachon, he doesn't have to pay him anything, even though the chametz has no value. However, what happens if the victim confronts this thief before Pesach? He says, "You stole my things." I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here. He says, "Do you make a shvuah that you don't have what is mine?" And he says, "Yeah, I swear." Ah, as soon as he swears now, the chiyuv to pay is generated at that point in time. So therefore, Amar Rav Mana, as l'kisi, so therefore, sorry, we said, "Meshlem lo chametz yafeh." So therefore, since the chiyuv to pay, the value of the chametz was generated at the time he made the false shvuah, which is before Pesach, he has to pay the value already, okay? And the chiyuv has been generated before Pesach. That's the difference. Okay, I'll just show you the Rafulda. Nishba gazlan kodem Pesach al chametz nitchayev lo az l'shlem chametz me'aleah. He has to already pay the full value of chametz. Avalachar Pesach, Meshalem, so therefore, Aflachar Pesach, sorry, Meshalem lo Chametz, lo Chametz Malia. Chametz, you have to pay the full value. Yeah, fair. Fine. Now, Amar Rav Mana, Azel Kisrim Ashkich Lerav Chizkiah, the Darshlem Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Inipar Nash Palig, which is taught this ruling about the fact if you made it, the Gazal Meir Shvuah, if you like, Shvuah Pikadon, before Pesach, denying it. That he has to pay the full value even after Pesach. So he says, Ini parnash palig al chilfi she ein meshalem chametz yafeh. Is anyone who's cholik on that position? And he answers, well, this is based on the parish of Marfulda. No, I call modim mechametz meshalem chametz yafeh. That in this situation, you have to pay the full value of the chametz. Again, because a chiyuv to pay was generated by the fact he made a false shvuah already at that time. Let's continue. This is now halacha daled. Natana umanim letaken. Let's say someone gives a kli to a craftsman to fix. Vikilkel and breaks it. Chayv l'shem has to pay for that kli. Okay. Natana charash shida. If you gave a chest or a teva, it's like a shida's. The marfil is a shida's like argaz shel agala. Merkam so like a movable sort of chest of some sort. That's more of an argaz. Whereas, sorry, where were we? Yeah, teva is like a chest. Migdal is a cupboard. Letaken, Vikil can he breaks his chayv l'shelem. We'll discuss this in the Gemara. What a habanai shekibel alav et hakotel lesotro. What if a builder or a demolition really expert was commissioned to break down a wall? Now in those days they were made of nice stone, and the stone is each of them had value. So he was breaking it down, he's going to use it for something else or something. Vishibrani broke the stones, or Yizika, caused some sort of damage, his chayv l'shelem, he's obligated to pay. If I was some sort of ones, he was dismantling one way, and for some reason there's some sort of ones that fell another way, then pater. However, if it was because of the reverberations of his banging, and it was clearly a result of his involvement, then obviously he's chayav. Okay, there's a lot to work with here in this mission as well. The Gemara says, Natana umanim letaken. The Kilkel. Rav Huna says, Amar v'hu shekava bo masmer acharon kedei lezakot lechelav. Now, what this means is, now, this is like almost like a one-liner here, which is very, which is quite packed, because the Bavli goes in a lot more detail on this. Rav Huna says, that's v'hu shekava bo masmer. I mean, ha'acharon. That means all he's doing is one, the kli, basically he's been handed a kli already made. And all he has to do, this craftsman, is to put in some sort of masmer, some sort of nail, to fix it, or to, you know, and to harden, or do whatever it is to complete this kli in some way. That's when we say, if he breaks in the process, if you like, then he's have to pay the full kli. Because ve'en kan shevach, shenemar uman kone be'shevach kli, or patur. Now, what that means is there was no shevach to that kli, meaning there was no substantive shinui such that he was koneh. Because otherwise, to explain, if this craftsman was given raw materials, this is how it was explained in the Bavli, and he crafted this whole kli and then it breaks, we don't expect the uman now to pay the person the price of a full kli to replace the kli. What he can simply do is, because when he started using those materials and he created a shevach, he was kind of the if you like, the through the shinui, the raw materials were effectively like his from that point. And any shevach that was created of above it is effectively his. So if there's a necessity for compensation in this situation, he would just return, if you like, the funding of the raw materials. That's effectively what the Mishnah is saying in this, if you like, one liner. So again, Natan Umin Taken, the Kakel, his Chayv Lashlem, the full Kli, that's when he received the full Kli. And the, if you like, the work he did, there was no Shevach Kli, if you like, there was Koneret. That's why he used to pay the full amount. However, again, once again, if he was given more raw materials, as soon as he started working on it, increased his Koneret B'Shevach HaKli, and therefore he would only have to pay the raw materials back if the customer, if you like, demanded compensation. Okay, Beseder, we will continue from here in session next year. Kotzov, have a good day.
Chiyuv toll was generated by the shvur. The chiyuv was generated at the moment that he stole it.
You're fair. So you're saying as well, I hear that question as well. Like we said the kefil yochayev, we said the what's it called? The kefil's chayev, we said the arba chayim mishatz chayev from the beginning. Why isn't the keren chayev from the time he stole it? I think it's very simple. Meaning, when it comes to the object, you have to return the object itself. Okay? And therefore you can simply say, well, here's the object I stole from you, Haresh. And this is an actual shinui. Your obligation is to return the object you've stolen, there you have in your disposal. That's why, when it comes to those elements, well, we can simply can't say the other elements of compensation is not a let's look what we have to pay at the end and then double or triple or quadruple it, right? It's not that. It is there's a knas here, and that knas goes back to the time you stole it already, you have to pay the knas. So that's a knas part. It's not proportional to the value of the time you're returning it. You hear? That's the difference. Again, when it comes to gneva or gzela, your obligation to return the object. If you have the object, you return it. Zel. Okay? Even if it changes in value. Because I'm returning it.
Okay,
Okay? So
yes.
even though it's achamet sheval at pesach has no value, I'm returning it at zero value. I'm not obligated to return the value
Right.
that it
Okay,
was.
I understand it by comments.
Okay, so that's fine. That's by like pretty much all the things, unless there's a significant shinu that so that the ganav was koneh, and then he'd pay the time that he was koneh. The other elements of compensation, though, the if you like the kefel or arba v'chamisha, that was generated already the time he stole it. Okay, what value? If it's generated at that time, we look at the value of the time he stole it. Kishana gneva, because that's all we've got to work with. So therefore, again, this is the beautiful chiluk of the Chazon Cheskel. I'll go through it one more time. Is he says that's why in the time, if in the case of Chametz Shaval Atav HaPesach, the principal is return. He's obligated to return the principal. He's returned the principal. Has no value, but it doesn't matter. I've returned the principal. The chiyuv of Geneva, that kefel, the extra dollar compensation was at the time he stole it. What was the value of the time he stole it? It was worth a good bread. So therefore, you pay that value for the
Well,
kefel component.
Let me give you like this small stupid scenario.
Yeah.
You have an umbrella that gets stolen in the winter. Okay, there's no umbrellas in the market or whatever. The umbrella's worth, let's say, $10.
Yep.
The gonif doesn't get reported or whatever till June. He's going to make a shvua in June about the umbrella. Now the umbrella is $1 because nobody wants to buy an umbrella in June. So we're going to tell me now he's chayv based on when he made the shvua in June?
You're talking about the case, you're talking about the Shavua case.
You mentioned in the shir that the chayv starts when he makes the shvuah. And I'm saying, why does it start when he makes the shvuah?
So the shvuah, the chiyuv for the shvuah part was just in the shira. The shira, the chiyuv from the shvuah part was regarding the principal amount, the keren, not the kefil and other things we're talking about, right? The keren. So you're saying now, what happens if if he makes a shvuah many much later, and it now has a very different value the time he made the shvuah? I don't know. I'll leave that. I'll leave that. Like, in other words, if it ends up decreasing in value, do we still say Bishata Gneva? Because it sounds like you still go Bishata Gneva, but
He doesn't have the umbrella anymore that he can return
yeah, I
it. So
understand. I
he.
understand. I understand. Is that it? All right, cool.
Baba Kama.
Okay.